Hour number two of our broadcast. Welcome back. I'm Bill Shanks. Let's talk some NBA basketball, specifically Hawks basketball, with Jason Walker from PeachtreeHoops.com. Jay, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Bill.
Always a pleasure to have you on, and a lot to talk about with the Hawks, who, boy, what a frustrating road trip for Atlanta, getting off to a very good start with the three wins to start the road trip, and you had a feeling they were going to have a very good trip because they had Phoenix, L.A., the Lakers, and then Denver left to go after that. And unfortunately, they split the six games with the three losses to end the trip. First Monday night's game against Denver, really not a surprise considering the injuries because they were really crippled in that game, weren't they?
Yeah, and Denver, the Nuggets get a lot of this on their schedule where they get these teams finishing up in Denver on a West Coast trip. They'll get a lot of East Coast teams playing the night before and then coming up to altitude in Denver. And then you see what the Nuggets do. They do this because it happens so often. They know exactly how to handle their guests when they're in the situation. They just ran all over the Hawks. The Denver is the number one team in fast break points, but they took it to another level against Atlanta and was consistently getting behind the Hawks, who were, like you said, playing with a shortened bench last night without Korver and Pachulia and Deshaun Stevenson.
Well, let's go back to the Lakers game a little bit on Sunday night. Yeah. What a frustrating, a great ball game. Now let me say that, and it was a great basketball game. The Hawks came back and had the chance, and unfortunate play there at the end. You know, and I hate to say this is probably unfair, but boy, I tell you, you just want for Josh Smith to make that kind of play to almost define himself as, yes, the go-to guy, and yet that was kind of an indication there of why people continue to question whether or not he is that max contract guy. But that was a tough loss on Sunday night, wasn't it?
Well, you know, there's so many things about that last sequence that was amazing. That last minute is a showcase for why Larry Drew is one of the best offensive coaches in the league. The plays that he got that team into provided such good baskets. You had the Teague runner, you had the high-low from Smith, who threw an unbelievably great pass, an anticipation pass to Horford for a dunk. And then that last play was perfect. Josh Smith was wide open at the rim to give them the lead. Unbelievable that he was wide open. But on that play, you know, I can't fault Josh Smith too much because Devin Harris delivered the ball a second too late. It was like a quarterback who went back to pass and didn't anticipate the receiver breaking open. And once he waited until he saw the receiver get open, and then throw the football. By that time, the defense had adjusted. It was exactly the same way. Josh broke, and unlike when he threw the ball to Horford, he anticipated Al getting open. Because they haven't run that play too much to Harris and Smith, Harris waited until he saw Josh open. And by then, it was the pass came just a second too late. Howard was already closing in. Smith tried to rush it and bobbled the ball, and then, you know, he did all he could. He was already behind the basket. He did all he could do to try to get it back out to Harris for his jump shot, and Blake stole it. It was a hard way to end the game because the Hawks were just a split second away from making a great win at the Staples Center, and it was a tough way to lose that ball game.
Jay, I don't want to be too philosophical about this road trip, but I guess I'm getting ready to this next question. We talk on the show all the time about the difference between good and great. Would a great team have finished off that road trip and last night's game aside, because I know the injuries were obviously a big part of it, but would a great team have finished off that road trip better than 3-3?
Well, I tell you what, a great team wouldn't have gone into Phoenix and with time off and just completely played halfway like they did in that game. There was no tired excuse. There was no fatigue. The Suns were there for the taking. They played pretty well, but the Suns have gotten by on a lot of hustle. They're not loaded with talent out there. And the Hawks turned the ball over 20 times. That's very unlike the Atlanta Hawks. But they kind of went in there sloppy, thinking, oh, we can just try to flop our way through this one because they'd come off such a great beginning to that road trip. As Josh Smith said, oh, you know, sometimes you earn one of these. Well, great teams don't think that way. Great teams don't think that way. And they went into that Phoenix game feeling that way, and they got beat. And then they played fantastic in L.A., but lost. That's a tough place to win. And then, you know, they were gassed by the time they got to Denver, and Denver ran them out of the gym.
Jason,
the great teams probably don't do that in Phoenix, and you're coming back with 4-2, maybe 5-1 road trip that way. That's what great teams would have been.
Yeah, Jason Walker is our guest from PeachtreeHoops.com. All right, now on the schedule, they're back home tomorrow night against Philadelphia. Then they go to Boston on Friday. Then back home against Brooklyn on Saturday before going to Miami next Tuesday. And I mentioned this four-game stretch here. I mean, Philadelphia obviously struggling this year and not in the playoff picture, really. We know who the eight teams are going to be in the Eastern Conference playoff picture now. But the Boston and Brooklyn games are kind of important here because all of a sudden Atlanta's dropped back to six. They're only a half game back of the fourth and fifth place seeds as Chicago and Brooklyn are tied at 34 and 26. So it's not like it's that big of a deal. But these games against these teams that you're battling out for these playoff positions, Jay, they are a big deal, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're a big deal in terms of proving that you can beat those teams. And Boston is a team that will challenge you mentally. They're not as talented as they have been in past years. And Rondo being out, that's a big blow. But they challenge you mentally to play a solid game. And that's always a struggle for the Hawks because they have to be on their game to beat that. So you want to beat that team to show we can do that, especially if you do it in Boston. Beating it, and then taking care of a team like Brooklyn, which is probably the closest line to the Hawks, is important too. Because what you want to do, it's not, the fourth or fifth seed. Remember, the Hawks don't want that seed because that's the seed in the second round where they got to play the Heat.
Yeah,
they want to match up with the Knicks or the Nets, a team that they can play with. The Bulls and the Heat are kryptonite for the Hawks because they're just so tough defensively. But you do want to prove that you can beat these teams. It's a great opportunity to do it. But I think even more importantly is taking a team like Philadelphia, who's wounded and weak and in your arena, and putting them away. That's what you really want to do. Then take care of it. Make your statements against Boston and Brooklyn, and then come back and keep trying to improve yourself against the Heat, who's the gold standard right now.
Jason Walker, our guest for PeachtreeHoops.com. Let's talk more about Al Horford here. And I know we touched on this a little bit last week, and as he was kind of in the middle of this run, now that we're even more into March and he continues to do this, it wasn't just a February thing for him. I went back this morning and looked, last 17 games for Al Horford, 21.2 points per game, 10.5 rebounds per game. He's got the best numbers really of his career, and just the evolution of his game, it's kind of getting to the point where this team's more fun to watch because of Al Horford. Am I reaching here with this? Or is he making this team, because of the way he's playing, more attractive to watch?
Yeah, he's taken it to another level. And, since the calendar turned to February, now we're into March, he really feels like he really looks like he's healthy. And now he's building on the season he had two seasons ago when he really started to emerge. His second All-Star season, he really looks like he's taking the next step. His outside game's good. He's vicious on the inside. He's a beneficiary of Larry Drew's play calling, and he's also a beneficiary of the good passing by Josh Smith and the penetration skills of Jeff Teague. He does make it more fun because, as you saw last night, even though everybody was gassed, who was playing hard out there? Who can you say brought it again? And it was Al Horford. And, yeah, that is something that, as a fan, even if you're a cynical NBA watcher, you appreciate. That's why the man made two straight All-Star games. And now he's taking it. He's healthy, and he's taking it to another level. And, really, I'm going to tell you, Phil, did you watching that game against the Lakers, which center did you want?
Yeah.
Did you want Dwight Howard, or did you want Al Horford? And the fact that he's making that a conversation tells you all you need to know about the guy.
Well, and you're transitioning perfectly into what I was going to ask you next, and going back to that Lakers game, because – I was really amazed by watching that Sunday night, Jay, that Dwight Howard is so insignificant. And we watched him close up, having to play the Magic so many times during the course of these years, where he has been the man on the court. Those eyes go right to him when he's playing. But that wasn't the case on Sunday night. Now, and at the same time, this coincides with when Al Horford is playing the best basketball of his career. And it almost presents even more of a dilemma to me for Danny Ferry in his thinking of, all right, I know I've had a man crush on Dwight Howard from the day I got this job, thinking that he could be the guy that could turn this around. But Is Al Horford changing the scope of this conversation and maybe the internal debate that's going on in that front office for Atlanta?
Well, I can't believe that Danny Ferry's first choice is to trade Al Horford for Dwight Howard. I think he wants both. I think he wants Howard and Horford. I think that's the goal because when you have a player like Al Horford who's just as solid a player as you have him under value, really, his contract is under the value that he would get if he were on the open market. You don't want to let him go. So, I mean, I don't think that's their first choice. But I think there's a couple things about Dwight Howard that we need to understand. Number one, and as we just discussed with Al Horford, Dwight Howard's not healthy. He's not 100%. And you can see what the difference is between a guy like Horford, who was just getting his feet back under him
right at
the beginning of the season, and what he is now that he's healthy. Dwight Howard is not healthy. He's
right.
not there, and he's gamely going for it.
Right.
And then the other thing is that you're in a system with Mike D'Antoni that's not really center-friendly. I mean, you go back to the Suns' years, it was really more of a power forward, Steve Nash, shooters, system out there, 7 seconds or less type offense. That doesn't really play well to Dwight Howard's post-up game.
No.
But you have him in an odd system, and he's not completely healthy. And what you see is that you kind of render him, like you said, insignificant.
And he's not – and Jay, on top of all that, he's not happy. You can tell and look at him. He's not happy.
He's trying to make a go of it, and you got to respect him for that, especially after going through about 12 to 16 months of negative publicity for the guy. You like what he's trying to say and what he's trying to do out there. Trying to make a go of it, and that's it, but you're right. He doesn't look right. He doesn't look comfortable. I mean, happy or not, he doesn't look comfortable,
uh-uh.
And that's a big difference. So that's what you got to consider about Howard. I think Danny Ferry would take him in a second because you're betting on him getting healthier. You're betting on putting him in a good system, and then you would still go for it. But I don't think Danny Ferry would want to do that, parting with Al Horford to get that done.
Well, and last week you told us that it might have to take Al Horford in a sign and trade to get Dwight Howard. But I mean, do you think there are ways where that can be done where Horford would not have to be included?
Yeah, I think so. And one thing about the sign and trade rules with the new CBA. Is that if you're signing and trading him, they don't get that fifth year. It's a maximum 4-year deal. So he could just sign outright with the Hawks for the same that he could.
Okay.
He would sign outright and sign and trade.
Okay.
That may render that a little bit moot. So.
So what are the benefits then of a sign and trade? I mean, like for Atlanta, why would we want to have a sign and trade for Josh Smith, for example?
Right. Exactly. The same thing with Houston. With Josh Smith.
Yeah.
They could just sign him outright. So there's no real. There's no real play for them to do that
okay.
with the Hawks. But the sign and trade still comes into play when you're trading with a capped out team who
okay.
couldn't sign somebody outright.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That makes sense. Well, so we've talked a lot about the combination of Al Horford and Josh Smith. Charles likes to remind me, because he's a Florida fan, that statistically Al Horford has some of the best numbers for a center in this league. So, therefore, consequently, the next question is, with Dwight Howard at center and Al Horford moving down to the four, what kind of duo would that present for the team?
It's great. It'd be great for Dwight Howard because what he'd have is a passing big man on the floor with him at the same time, which, the Lakers ironically have with Pau Gasol, but you don't see it too much in that offense. Again, we go back to that offense that they run in L.A. It's not the same. You put a Larry Drew offense in there when you've got a nice high-low, Dwight Howard suddenly is very happy to have Al Horford. Horford gets a lot of assists from Josh Smith. It may not be as good for Horford, but it would be good for the team. Horford's numbers, though, with 82games.com, show that he's actually been more efficient as a center than as a power forward,
right.
which is even defensively, which is interesting. I think it would be obviously be great fit for Dwight Howard, and even having Josh Smith as a small forward in that, having Smith, Horford, and Howard would be a devastating defensive front line, one of the best in basketball.
All right, two-part question. Do you think Dwight Howard understands that possibility? And number two, do you think because of what Dwight Howard has gone through, not only this year but last year in Orlando as well, the lure of home may be even more enticing for him after he gets into that free agency period?
Yeah, I still play that. I still play that in my head that I just, there's a part of me that says, Dwight Howard and the publicity, and especially if the Lakers don't make the playoffs and things are going south again, and let's say they go through a big losing streak. Right now things are okay. They're back up to 500. But what if they go through another one? Would he look at the comforts of home And even though he loses that fifth year, don't forget, he plays 4 years with Atlanta. He signs a new contract. That first year is really the fifth year of a contract. So he'll get that money. But it's not guaranteed. That fifth year is not guaranteed until the next contract. So you still think that the value of being a superstar in Atlanta with very little expectation, playing with guys like Smith and Horford, Dwight Howard would have to look at that. But just don't know what athletes are thinking. Is that maybe Jason Walker's motivation?
Yeah.
But is that Dwight Howard's? And right now he's saying all the things about being in L.A. and, the lure of Brooklyn being in New York and now being out in L.A. That might be what's motivating Dwight Howard. But I still hold out a little part that says it's Atlanta has to be a comfortable place to come and play, especially if you have Smith and Horford there to play with them.
I agree, and especially with the way I saw what I saw with him on Sunday. He just looked he looked miserable. All right, Jay, you talked about the seeding in the Eastern Conference. Obviously, you can look at these standings and say, all right, well, look, it's going to be San Antonio and Miami in the NBA Finals. Forget about everything else. But it still does present some interesting matchups for those early rounds in the playoffs. And you said that, either three or six would be better than four or five for this Atlanta team. Do they have a final gear to kind of kick into to make this happen here? Because not that you want to fall back in that sixth spot, but right. can they get to that third spot?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. You get everybody healthy. Remember, this team isn't really, this team has been dinged up. Pachulia's battling his injuries. And not having Zaza on the floor, makes a difference. I mean, he's such a ferocious offensive rebounder. Gets the Hawks extra possessions. That's a key piece. And then you've got Korver and Deshaun Stevenson. He really hasn't been able to play back-to-back games this year. Consistently, and Deshaun's been a very good piece of the puzzle when he's been able to play. And you've had stuff with Devin Harris. If you get that team completely healthy and playing together, like I said, they can make a push. The third seed's right there for the Hawks to take. And you do want home, even though you don't want to be matched up potentially with a second-round Miami Heat, it is nice to have home court advantage for that first round. So getting up to that three seed would be critical for these guys. So even though it's a transition year for the Hawks, I mean, they have 9 to 10 guys on the last year of their contract. It's going to be a big turnover in the offseason. But these guys want to win now, too. There's no guarantees for them, and they want to make the best case for their next contract, and that might be in Atlanta. So these guys, are going to want to win. They want to win now, even though the franchise is in a transition year. And going for that third seed, I think they have an extra gear if they can just get everybody healthy. And make that push. It's right there for them to take, and they can do it.
Well, and they've seen how good they can be. I mean, they've seen how at times they can be a really good basketball team, and hopefully that will inspire them to kind of kick it into that gear. But you're right, the health is so critical, as we saw last night when they were just depleted. And literally, you hate to write the story like this, but they definitely are limping home and need a good turnaround. They don't need to wet the bed tomorrow night against Philadelphia. They need to kick it in and do it tomorrow night, don't they?
Right. And I think that's why you didn't see Korver play. You didn't see Stevenson play.
Yeah.
I think even Larry Drew, consensus that the team's kind of banged up. You're at the end of a long road trip. And get these guys ready to go for Philadelphia. I think they will be, and take advantage of a team where Doug Collins has pushed his front office, his fans down the stairs this year. They're ripe to beat. Take care of it.
The website is PetrieHoops.com. We hope you'll check it out for great basketball and Atlanta Hawks content. Jason Walker has been our guest. Jason, good stuff as always. We will talk with you next week.
All right, Bill. Thanks, man.
We'll take a break, come back, go from the Atlanta Hawks to the Atlanta Falcons. A different bird, same city. David Archer from the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network will talk free agency and about the draft for the Falcons. That and more as we continue on this Tuesday right after this.